Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albrock on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
And good morning, everybody. Good Wednesday to you. The Royals rally in the Bronx. Well, a auspicious debut in Tampa has me wondering about the future of Bobby Witt Jr. We'll make the connection. Sticky stuff pushed back and an amazing finish in the NBA playoffs leading us off on this midweek edition of Sports Daily. Good morning to one and all. Good morning to my partner, Jacob Albrock. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. What a wild and crazy sports night that turned out to be last night.
It really did.
For a random Tuesday night? Man.
Yeah. Very random Tuesday night when you were kind of like, not searching. I mean, you had the Royals in New York against the Yankees. You had, you know, the first real day of, you know, the kind of sticky stuff surveillance, if you will, and some sticky moments that resulted in it. And then you had an NBA playoff game that became, did it become an instant classic? We'll talk about that coming up in the second segment, but just absolutely fantastic. So many things to occupy us with here this morning. And I guess that it's most logical to start with the Royals, winners of 2 of 3. To get a series win for the first time in nearly 3 weeks at home against the Red Sox. Now go to the Bronx and find a way to score 4 in the, seventh inning and beat the Yankees after Gerrit Cole had started off okay, I guess. But it was kind of an interesting. And we had a Sean O'Hare sighting, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, so you had Cole go 7 and give up 2 runs. I think that's pretty successful,
right,
in the world,
sure,
of Gerrit Cole. You got into the bullpen and you got two of their really good relievers. Ryan O'Hearn, you know, 2 of the key hits in that game. O'Hearn, who was just called up as Mondesi was hurt again, had your clutch hits. That's something that they just haven't had, you know, a moment where somebody picks them up, and he did yesterday. It's either everybody's going at the same time or everybody's slumping at the same time, and Salvador Perez has been the one constant solid, although he wasn't good last night. And, you know, you had a Carlos Santana hit, and Whit Merrifield continues to kind of creep back up a little bit. Gerard Dyson comes in, and, you know, in a big moment in that game, I thought it was interesting on the go-ahead run with Santana at the plate. Dyson comes in, and, you know, you force, it's kind of old school Royals, you force the Yankees to make a play at the plate because they weren't going to turn the double play there, and it works out to your advantage. Now, they added runs and it was different, but in that moment, they used kind of put the ball in play and speed and do those things, old school Royals of their most recent years of success. So that was good to see too. But, you know, you got exactly what you wanted. You got Cole basically out of the game before he threw a complete game on you. You were in there the whole time, and you were in a position to use your top relievers with the lead. Now, that was not your top reliever's best performance. Brentz gave up a run. Zimmer gave up 2 in just a third. And Greg Holland was a bit shaky, but he got through it. And you get the win. You get a win on the road against the Yankees when Gerrit Cole's on the mound. And when your starter was not his best.
No.
That's a really nice win for the Royals as we look at this season. Maybe the best win they've had all year, or the perhaps the most meaningful, depending on what comes after it. But we're to the point now, I think, where the Royals are finally climbing out of that funk and getting some, you know, breaks to go their way and do some of the right things. There's a lot in an individual game that you can look at, and all those are the positives. Brady Singer was not a positive last night.
No, he wasn't, and that was one of our themes kind of leaving the air yesterday. You know, what do we really want to see out of Brady Singer? We're not seeing it. We're not seeing it right now. The Royals have been a very interesting study because there are times when they play very good baseball and you look at them and you can imagine the possibilities. You know, you can get a good start. You can get a pretty solid relief. You get some guys, a couple of guys maybe hitting with some power. You get still, you've still got some speed in the lineup with Whit Merrifield at the top of the order. And I mean, you can see without squinting why this club is promising. And then you've got, you know, 11 straight and 11 out of 12, which or 12 out of 13, whatever it ended up being, that kind of speaks for itself. They're a team that has kind of been kind of on extremes this year. I think they started better than, at least they started better than I thought they would. And that helped sustain them through that 11-game losing streak. And here they are now, you know, winners of, what, it's a modest 3 out of their last 4, but they're doing it against 2 pretty good baseball teams. And they look like they've kind of righted the ship again. I'm just kind of wondering if this is going to be the theme of the Royals all season long. And if it is, I'm okay with it. As long as the arrow is pointed up at the end of the season, I'm okay. And right now, I think the Royals are making progress. I don't think they're digressing. I think they're progressing.
Well, I think for me, it's not maybe as much progress as I wanted to see collectively. But yeah, I'm not sitting here saying, oh my God, the team is failing in a way that makes me concerned for the future. Whether Brady Singer is a really good Major League Baseball starting pitcher is yet to be determined, but he is going to have to work through what ails him right now, and what ails him right now are walks. Look, that last inning of his in the fourth was a perfect microcosm of what is happening in his big league career right now. He strikes out the first two batters of the inning and then walks the next three to load the bases. Absolutely bailed out by Bubich. Bubich was great. That was a good sign. But
yes.
My goodness, I'm going to give you, you know, he had 5 walks last night, 1 the game before, 1 before that, 3 in the game before that. He just can't get clean through a game, and it leads to high pitch counts. And until he figures out how to navigate that and stop with the walks, he went through a stretch in late April to late May where he didn't, through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 starts, he didn't walk fewer than 2 batters in a game. And he's going to have to get some control there. And I get why that happens with the young pitcher because they don't want to make the bad pitch and give up a home run or whatever it may be, especially in New York in that stadium. That's a tricky thing to navigate. But you know, 5 walks, and all of a sudden you can't get through the fourth inning, and that's just the way it's going to be. Like, you know, he's at 100 pitches, and he wasn't even through 4 innings, 96 pitches.
Right, and then you add the dynamic right now of pitchers being under the microscope and with no supposedly use of foreign substances to create more tack on the ball. And it reared its head in a lot of different places last night, but maybe, just maybe, this is the type of thing that this is the last thing that he needs because he's been battling with the strike zone anyway. Who knows what his challenge now with gripping pitches is, but it continues to be a real issue for him. And this is the thing with the Royals. If nothing else for the Royals this summer, I would be happy if, and I'll fill in the blank, you can fill in your own blank, if nothing else happens, but they come away with consistency in their start, some level of consistency, not stone cold, you know, they're going to be great every single time out, but that if we have gotten the starting rotation relatively defined and feeling good about it by the end of the season, if we can get some information on Lynch and Coar and, well, Brady, you know, Singer and all these young guys, can we just some form of consistency? Because I think if you can wrangle that, I think that you can do a lot of things moving forward with this lineup. You can add to it. You can add pieces to it. You've got a good core that I think that you feel good about. And I, the relief core is something or other that's flexible and ever changing year to year. But wouldn't that be just a great thing with all of these young arms that the Royals have? And they've got a bunch of them. And we haven't even seen AC yet at this level. But wouldn't it be something if we had a sense of, okay, here's the core of three or four starters. And there's a lot of teams that are hoping and looking for this, Jacob. But wouldn't it be something if the Royals could say, okay, I feel really good about this moving forward? That, to me, would be the best thing to take into the offseason, is understanding what you have with this young staff. It's going to be very difficult to get there because they really are young and inexperienced, and you probably need a couple of years to get them to that point. But, man, if you could just have some confidence moving forward that this is going to be the core, that would be huge to me.
Yeah, I think so. You mentioned Asa Lacy, and he's not doing anything spectacular in high A right now. He's striking out a lot of guys, but he has a 5.81 ERA. So he's not, and remember, he was just drafted. He's got a long way to go, but he's not close. So I think that you don't even at this point factor him into the immediate future. You just keep looking long term with him, and the rate at which he's striking guys out obviously is great news. Chris Bubich is a young guy who at one point this season in May had a salivating at, what may be. And then the month turned to June and he fell off a cliff. Last night was the first really good performance from him we've seen this month. And he was really good and in my opinion, the best pitcher they had last night in what he was able to come in and do. I mean, 2 1/3, he came in with the bases loaded, got out of that jam in one pitch, then went two more innings and shut down the Yankees and allowed his team to sort of find its groove and then turn it over. So, yeah, you're looking at four guys right now, because I don't think Lacy's going to factor into this season.
No.
So you've got four guys that you're really evaluating as potential starters in your rotation for a long, long time. Singer, Bubich, Kowar, and Lynch. Kowar and Lynch have done nothing to tell you that they're ready. Not a thing. They have both struggled mightily in their opportunities in the big leagues. Singer and Bubich have not. They've shown us flashes. Bubich, at one point this year in May, was fantastic. And Singer just kind of continues to float around there, but you can still see it. The pace at which he works, the intensity. When he needs one, he can get a strikeout. But when he's not locating, he really struggles. 5 hits, 5 walks, in fewer than 4 innings. I mean, that will not get it done in the big leagues.
No.
So we've got, and he's had the most opportunities out of all these guys too. So at some point this year, I think it's the most critical that Singer finds some sort of groove. And then I think too, and you brought it up at the beginning of the show, and we might as well jump right into it. Where does Bobby Witt Jr. factor in this season? Is it this season? Now, he's heated back up since the last time we talked about him.
Right.
And they could use him, certainly. And they've got a spot for him right now. And at what point do they do it? It sure sounds like he's going to get the call to AAA before he jumps to the big leagues, I think. So I think it's still probably longer than a lot of people would want, and I'm not 100% sure that that's well, still. I don't know that I disagree with Dayton Moore and what the Royals are doing right now.
I don't either. I totally understand it, but here's the thing. I mean, and here's when I get whimsical, and hopeful, and maybe a little pushy. I watch Wander Franco last night.
I know.
And for Tampa, hit a ball, scorch a double, and hit a home run. Drive in 3 in his debut at the age of 20. Now, they lost the game in 11 innings, and I was glad for that because they were playing the Red Sox. But I'm looking at this kid and thinking, are you kidding me? Now, look, we don't know. He could go 0 for his next 21, but all you had to do was watch those two at-bats, and you just see a guy that has got really good understanding of what he's doing at the plate, and by all accounts is a five-tool guy. Anyway, and then so it makes you think about it makes me think about Bobby Witt Jr. immediately, who, you're right, Jacob, through 39 games now is hitting .281. So that means he's hitting really well right now. That average has popped about, 40 points now in the last few weeks. 11 home runs, would have been 12 if he had touched the plate. 11 home runs, 25 driven in, and 11 stolen bases in 39 games. So go ahead and extrapolate and do the math. And I'm with you. I'm with you. It's like, okay, we got to be careful. We got to do this because for the example of Wander Franco, you also have Jared Kelenic of the Mariners, one, their top prospect, who came up and hit .096 in like 83 at bats. So there is a fine line there. I don't know.
And Franco, he's a generational prospect. Witt may be also, but he wasn't there yet as far as prospects go, the way that, you know, that Wander was regarded. And the Rays are very much in contention, right? So there was a little more pressure there. But I don't think Witt is at the same point in his development as Franco. Don't think he is. American players typically are not, because they haven't played professionally until they're at least done with high school. So I selfishly would like him to stay down just a little bit longer so we can see him in Wichita. It may be the right thing to do at this point to go ahead and get him to AAA, which, you know, you're going to have craftier, more experienced pitchers who will try and pitch around him. That's what I want to see, because he could get called up to the Royals right now. Where do they put him in the lineup to protect him? You would have to hit him near the top if you want to give him any protection at all, because you got to get at least Merrifield, Santana, Perez around him, and that's about it. Like, so those are the three guys with Benintendi and Mondesi out. Like, you got to protect him if you bring him up. So are you ready to bring him up, put him near the top of the lineup, do all those things? I don't know that that's the right thing to do yet. And if it is, if they determine, all right, let's get him up here, nobody will be more excited than me. I guess I understand where they're coming from. He just hasn't had a lot of opportunities professionally. And I would hate to see him struggle at all at the big league level, because big league pitchers are just like, oh, well, he's pretty easy to pitch around. Because he doesn't know yet. And I don't know that that's going to be the case. It may not be. I just don't think they're at the point where, at 33 and 38, even though he would be certainly a lightning rod into that lineup and into that, you know, everything about it, I trust what they're thinking on this, and I think it's okay that they're taking their time. And
all right, then at what point do you bring him in? Do you bring him up? Because I can't.
Well, I think you do. I think you do
at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. If he keeps hitting .280 or better, you certainly can. But he just got to .280. Because he's on a hot streak right now. So let's see it sustained. And to be fair, I'm not watching all of his at-bats. So I don't know if he's working counts. I don't know what kinds of things he's doing now that he's going to inevitably have to do in the big leagues. Because if he comes up and tears the cover off the ball for two or three games right now, if you're the opposing pitcher, you just don't pitch to him. Because there's nobody else that's going to hurt you right now in the Royals lineup consistently enough. So you just sort of pitch around him. Don't give him any good pitches to hit. We see that all the time. And is his plate vision good enough that he is willing to wait on his pitch? I don't know that. If it is, then get him up here. It's just not for most young players yet.
All right, more baseball coming your way. We had the Dodgers and Padres last night. The matchup that you can't ever afford to miss. And it was another great ball game out on the West Coast late. Sticky stuff.
Temper tantrums, baby.
Woo! Yes, they are, and it's coming. We'll get into that maybe a little bit later, but let's turn the page and get to some basketball. We had a fantastic finish, and I mean a fantastic finish, in the Western Conference Final last night. and the Eastern Conference gets underway this evening. Let's talk hoops when we continue.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.